Right, so tonight is actually a part two, but we'll bring everyone up to speed with regard to part one. Last time we started Kapitel Samaches, chapter 68 in Tehillim, and we introduced our study of the chapter by quoting the commentary of the Das Mikra. The Das Mikra starts off his commentary on this Kapitel Tehillim by saying, Hamafarshim regilim lomar ki mizmar samiches hu hasasam b'chol mizmari tehillim. The Mefarshim write that chapter samiches 68 is the most difficult to understand of all the chapters of Tehillim. And he goes on to explain that there are many words in the chapter which are unusual words which don't appear anywhere else in Tanakh, so we're not even 100% sure what they mean. And besides that, the flow of ideas from one pasuk to the next is very, very difficult to follow in a lot of cases. So being that, last week, even with our best efforts, we only made it halfway through the Kapitel Tehillim, so Be'ezus Hashem, the plan tonight is to try to catch everyone up as to what we did last time and to plow ahead and try to finish the Kapitel as we're sitting here tonight. In terms of what is Samaches talking about, right, just to give an overview, again, as the Das Mikra mentioned, it's very, very difficult, to just interpret, even the Kapitel, even on the simplest of levels. Nonetheless, we quoted from the Malbim. The Malbim's interpretation of the theme of the chapter goes as follows. Says the Malbim, this chapter is describing a war which seems to take place in northern Israel. The references which we're going to see tonight to Har HaBoshan. The Boshan is what we call today the Golan Heights. We know that David HaMelech historically waged many battles all over Eretz Yisrael and surrounding areas. We know specifically that he waged wars against the various, what today would be Syria, Aram Sova, Aram Damesek, and that he was victorious in those wars. So this Kapitel Tehillim describes a military victory. It describes the parade which followed that military victory. And it speaks of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who always grants us victory even when the odds seem to be against us. That is the Malbim's interpretation of this Kapitel Tehillim. And, again, in many ways that may be the simplest way to understand what's going on over here. However, we pointed out that Chazal take many of the specific psukim in this chapter of Tehillim, and they understand them as referring to great events in the past of Jewish history. And specifically, some of the events which according to Chazal are referenced here in this Kapitel Tehillim are Maimed Har Sinai, the receiving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Additionally, other psukim, according to Chazal, reference stories that have to do with the Kriyas Yamsuf, with the splitting of the Red Sea. And there are many, many different homiletical interpretations of some of these psukim, and a lot of the a lot of the stories in Midrashim, which we may be familiar with, from growing up, Chazal anchored those Midrashim and those stories in many of the psukim that are in this Kapitel Tehillim. So as we have been going through, and as we'll continue to go through, we'll explain the kapitel in terms of the pshat storyline, the battle which is taking place and how the Jewish people were able to protect themselves against the battle. But we'll also try to give the interpretation of the psukim according to Chazal, and we'll see where many of the stories and the Midrashim which we know are referenced here in this Kapitel Tehillim. So last time we had gotten up to, we'll go back a little bit, we're going to start with Pasuk Yud Beis, Samaches Yud Beis. Adokai Yiten Omer, Hashem gives the word, Hamivasros Tzavarov, and they announce a great army, a great legion. Malchit Tzavos Yedodun Yedodun. The kings of those armies, they move quickly, they move quickly, they run away, they run away. Unevas Bayis, and the woman of the house, Techalek Shalom, she divides up the spoils. These two psukim, on the simplest of levels, again, refer to a war, right? The Mavasros, the heralds, you know, those who are announcing, you know, those who are standing in a high place and announcing what's about to happen. They announce a Tzava Rav, a great army which is coming, and yet the kings, Yedodun, Yedodun, they run away, they run away, and it's the woman of the house who divides up the spoils, right? You know, in other words, Klal Yisrael.
She enjoys the victory.
Right, Klal Yisrael, you know, again, referred over to over here as the Nevas Bayis, Klal Yisrael divides up the spoils from the war. In Chazal, these two psukim are speaking about Matan Torah. Right? So, Hashem Yitein Omer, Hashem gives the word, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai gives forth the word, you know, which talks about the giving of the Torah. And Malchit Tzavos Yedodun Yedodun, the kings of the legions, of the armies, they go back and forth, they go back and forth. That is the reference to the malachim. Right? What are the malchei tzavos? Not malachim, right, kings, but malachim, angels. The angels of Hashem, yedodun, yedodun. They are flitting back and forth and flitting back and forth. Right? And when a vas bayis to chalek shalol, it's the woman of the house who divides up the spoils, right? What is that a reference to? So again, we're all familiar with the famous Maimer Chazal that the Malachim wanted to prevent Moshe Rabbeinu from taking the Torah and bringing it back to the Jewish people. So here those Malachim are being described as fleeing from before Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Jewish people divide up the spoils. What does it mean that the Jewish people divide up the spoils? We get the Torah, right? We're able to wrest the Torah away from the Malachim who would try to prevent us from getting it, right? So that, you know, that very famous story, which we're all familiar with, is referenced in this pasuk according to Chazal. And again, we'll see another reference to this idea, you know, to this story a little bit later on in the kapitel. If you lie down between the shvatoyim is a dirty part of the house. If you lie down in the dirty part of the house, the wings of the dove are covered over with silver, and her wings are covered over with a fine gold. Again, a pasuk which is just very difficult to understand. If you lie down in a dirty part of the house, so the wings of the dove are covered over with gold and silver. That doesn't even seem to make sense as a sentence. What does that mean? The Radak over here, we quoted this last time, the Radak over here writes that this is meant metaphorically. If you lie down, ben shvatoyim, meaning if you humble yourself, right, you go to a place where you can afford to be, where it's, you know, where the paths are blackened. You go to a place which expresses your humility. Ultimately, you will be in a good position, in a beautiful position. You'll be like a dove that has beautiful golden and silver wings. The Radak writes that this is essentially about the idea of Talmidei Chachamim having to humble themselves in order to be able to receive the Torah. Im Tishkabun ben Shvatoyim, right? You, the Talmud Chacham, the Torah scholar, you lower yourself, you put yourself into a place which is, you know, not a place where you speak about or focus on your own glory. Ultimately, however, if you seek humility, you'll be able to gain greatness in the form of gold and silver, again meant over here metaphorically, gold and silver covering over the wings. Bifores shakai melochim, when Shakai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Malachim spread themselves out, made the kings spread themselves out, Bo Tashleg did Salmon. There, in the darkness, everything will become snowy. Tashleg. Everything will become white and snowy. What does this pasuk mean? Right? Very, very difficult. Again, this is a very, very difficult pasuk to translate. I think on this pasuk, the Das Mikra makes the following comment. He says, "Ze pasuk sasum me'od." This is a really difficult pasuk to translate, right? So he suggests again, just on the simple level, right? That this is that the Kapitel Tehillim is talking about some kind of military victory, which the Jewish people are able to achieve. It's describing the defeat of the kings who came against the Jewish people. Bifareis Shakai Melochim. So he translates Bifareis when God scattered. When God scattered the kings, Tashleg Bitsalmon, there was a thick snow. Tashleg, there was a thick snow that came down Bitsalmon, related to the pasuk we know from earlier in Tehillim, Tsalmoves. Gam ki eilech begeit Tsalmoves. Tsalmon, Tsalmoves is something that connotes darkness. When the kings were scattered, the snow came and covered everything over in darkness. So understood literally, that basically means the Jewish people pushed back their enemies, and they were victorious, and then a snow came and covered everything over, preventing the enemies from being able to come and strike back against the Jewish people. Right? Now, let's try to put this in the context of what this might mean literally. Let's remember, according to the Malbim in particular, the war which is being described over here takes place in the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights is the one place in Eretz Yisrael where you actually have a significant amount of snow on a regular basis, right? And if you want to go skiing anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, you don't want to go to Tel Aviv. You may not want to go to Tel Aviv Stamazoi, but you don't want to go to Tel Aviv to go snowing, to go sledding or anything like that. Ice skating in Bnei Brak is not really one of the the major fun time activities. Right, probably not. I remember
Yerushalayim,
every once in a while you get an inch of snow and then it shuts down the whole city when they have an inch of snow. But the Golan Heights, you go to the Hermon and that area, so that actually can be snowy. There actually is snow. So if we're talking about a battle that takes place in northern Israel, like in the area of Syria, on the Golan Heights, and the Jews are able to push back their enemies, and then it snowed and prevented the enemies from coming and striking back, or it snowed and the snow itself helped, push away the enemy because the enemy couldn't fight anymore because of the snow. That's a literal description that would fit in very well with a war that was taking place somewhere in northern Israel on the Syrian border, right? On the level of Pashtun Pshat, that would work very well. There's an interesting comment Chazal have on this pasuk, which again is clearly meant homiletically, but I'll share it. The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that when you say Kriyas Shema, or for that matter, whenever you daven, you should be very, very careful to enunciate the words properly. Right? You shouldn't slur the words together. And says the Gemara, if you're careful enunciating the words, so God will cool down even the fires of Gehenna, if necessary, for that person who's careful about pronouncing the words properly. How do we know that? So the Gemara quotes this pasuk. What's this pasuk got to do with anything? So the word bifareis, which again can be translated as he made them lie down or he scattered them, can also be repunctuated bifaresh. If you're careful to be mifaresh, which means to enunciate or to say properly, if you say the words of davening properly, Bot Tashleg B'Tzalmon, that will bring snow even to the darkness that's associated with Gehenna. It's going to cool down Gehenna for you if you're careful to say the words of davening properly. Right? Clearly, again, not the simple pshat of the pasuk, but interesting pshat nonetheless. Har Elokim, mountain of God. Har Boshan, mountain of the Boshan. Again, Boshan is the area of the Golan Heights. Har Gavnunim, Har Boshan. Again, we have the mountain of Boshan repeated again. What's the mountain of Gavnunim? What does that mean? So the Mefarshim explained that it's related to the word Gav, which means a back, and Har Gavnunim means a mountain that's very, very tall. It has a great back to it, right? So the mountain of God, Har Boshan, the mountain of Gavnunim, right? The very, very tall mountain, the mountain of Boshan. What is this talking about? Oh, so what are we talking about in this pasuk? So, again, the simple pshat, again, assuming that we're talking about some kind of war that's taking place in the Golan Heights, so this is simply a pasuk which describes the great mountain of Boshan upon which the war took place. What's Har Elokim, the mountain of God? So again, on the level of Pashut Pshat, we see oftentimes in Tanakh that the word Elokim will be used to describe something just as big, something great, right? L'moshel. So we read in the book of Yonah that Nineveh hoysa ir gedola le'lohim. Nineveh was a big city le'lohim. It doesn't mean that it was a big city for God. It just means it was a really big city. Right, Mahalach Shlosha Yomim, it took 3 days to be able to walk from one end of Nineveh to the next. So the simple pshat over here is Har Elokim, not Har Elokim, but Har Elohim, Har Boshan. Mount Boshan is a very, very tall mountain. And then Elohim and Gavnunim would really be synonymous with one another. You know, it's a big mountain, and it's a mountain with a tall back. And the idea basically is, again, if we're just describing the war in the pasuk, so you should know that the war took place on top of this mighty, mighty mountain. This mighty mountain, the mountain of Boshan. You should appreciate the mountain and everything that it represents. Chazal understand the pasuk as not, again, it's not talking about the mountain of Boshan, but rather is talking about Har Sinai, Har Elokim. It's the mountain of God upon which God revealed the Torah. So if that's the case, okay, that's good for Har Elokim. What do you do with Har Boshan? I mean, Har Boshan is the Golan Heights. Nobody thinks that Har Sinai is in the Golan Heights, right? So how do you explain that? So the Targum, for instance, translates as follows. Tur Moriah, this is the mountain of Moriah, right, where Avram Avinu brought up Yitzchak to the Mizbeach. Asar Diplochu Avos Alma Kodem Hashem, the place where the Avos worshipped Hashem. Isbechar Levinian Beis Makdasha, it was chosen for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. V'tur Sinai l'mohavis oraisa, and the mountain of Sinai was chosen as the place where God would give the Torah. Tur Masnon, Tur Tovor v'Karmel is Pesilu. The great mountains of Boshan, Tovor, and Karmel, which are other great mountains in the vicinity of Eretz Yisrael. Har Carmel, we know to this day, is in Haifa, right? Tavor, again, we're not exactly sure where it is, but somewhere up in the north. Boshan is clearly up in the north, in the Golan Heights. Ispesilu, they were disqualified from being mountains upon which the Torah could be given. is Avid Lahon Gaviva, Hechtur Masna. The great mountain of Bashan was rendered like it was Gaviva, like it was straw, like it was nothing. So let's understand how the Targum interprets this pasuk. Har Elokim, the mountain of God, Sinai, was chosen for God to give the Torah. Har Bashan, but even the great mountain of the Golan Heights was disqualified. Again, you have to read a lot into the pasuk. But Har Elokim, good. Har Bashan, bad. Har Gavnunim Har Bashan, the mountain of Bashan, the Golan Heights, was made like gavnunim, it was made like straw and something insignificant. What is this reference to? So this is the song we learned, or our kids learned, or our grandchildren learned in kindergarten or pre-1A, right? Of all of the mountains, he chose Har Sinai, right?
Small.
Right, in other words, there were other great mountains which you would think would be in the running for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give the Torah. But Hashem instead disqualified all of those big mountains because they were big, because they were haughty and full of themselves, and instead he chose Har Sinai because of his humility. Again, it's a statement from Chazal we all know. This is the source, right? This is the pasuk in Tehillim that Chazal anchor this idea in, that Har Sinai is being chosen, Har Elokim. The other mountains, Har Bashan, that's being disqualified. And the next pasuk continues that idea. Lama tiratstun harim gavnunim. You mountains that are gavnunim, again, you big mountains. Lama tiratstun. Why are you tiratstun? Now what's tiratstun? So tiratstun is an unusual word, right? Some say that Tiratstun is related to Tiraktun, to dance. Why do you dance, O great mountains? Now what does that mean? So again, in Chazal's interpretation, the Radak over here writes that to dance is to call attention to oneself. Right? You other great mountains, you dance. In other words, you try to show off in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Give the Torah on me. Look at me. I can do a song and a dance, right? We talk about that in terms of child raising, right? I can give a song and a dance so that, you know, I'm worthy of receiving the Torah. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lama Tiratstun Harim Gavnunim. You great, tall, mighty mountains, what are you dancing about? You don't have a chance to be able to be the ones to receive the Torah. Hahar Chamad Elokim Lishivto. The mountain that God desired to rest upon, Af Hashem Yishkon LaNetzach, Hashem is going to dwell there forever and ever. He's going to dwell there for eternity. What's the mountain that God is going to dwell on for eternity? In this case, not Har Sinai, but Har Moriah, right? It's the place which ultimately is going to be Har Abayis, it's the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, you know, in a similar way to the way the Medrash describes the competition to be the one upon which the Torah is revealed, Har Sinai, you know, won the competition even though it was the smallest among the mountains. So too Har Moriah, right, wins the competition to be the mountain upon which HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests His Shechina forever and ever with the Beis HaMikdash, despite the fact that the other mountains are competing, they're dancing, they're trying to show that they're worthy of receiving, of being the ones where the Beis HaMikdash is going to rest, but they don't stand a chance relative to Har Moriah, right? So again, that's Chazal's interpretation of this pasuk. If one goes back to the Pasha of Pshat again, that there's a war going on, right? So what's being described over here? So on the simple pshat, Lama Tiratstun Harim Gavnunim, Harim over here, mountains, can refer not to physical mountains but to the great armies which are moving against Eretz Yisrael. You great mountains, why are you dancing? Why are you trying to come in and invade Eretz Yisrael? Hahar Chamad Elokim L'Shivto. this mountain, not referring to a mountain, but this land, Eretz Yisrael is the land that God desired to make His own. Af Hashem Yishkon Lonetzach, Hashem is going to stay in Eretz Yisrael forever and ever. That might be the simple pshat, again describing the war, which is the focus of the psukim. Another pasuk, Rechev Elokim Ribosayim Alfei Shinon. The cavalry of Hashem is Ribosayim, is 2 times 10,000. Thousands of Shinon, again an unusual word, right? Over here in the Das Mikra, he translates the word Shinon as related to the word Shnayim, you know, that it's doubled, right? But the Das Mikra says the truth is the word Shinon is a very unusual word. We also don't know exactly what it is. But as Rechev Elokim Ribosayim Alfei Shinon, the idea being the forces were a double force. There were twice as many armies as one would imagine. Adokoi Vam Sinai Bakodesh. Hashem was against them like Sinai in holiness. Again, what's the simple pshat? Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to beat back the enemy despite the fact that the enemy was so numerous. You know, Rechev Ribosayim, there were tons and tons of chariots. You know, Shinon, you know, twice as many as one could possibly imagine. But Adokai Vam, Hashem was able to be against them, to beat them back, and, you know, to be victorious. The Lashon Sinai Bakodesh explains that Das Mikra means that the same power of Hashem which the Jewish people experienced at Har Sinai was in this case, in the case of the war, able to be utilized to destroy the enemy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took all of the kolos of Rakim, all of the thunder and lightning which had been part of the Sinai experience, and he basically shot it against the enemy and was able to destroy them. A sin on, like, the idea of hatred. Interesting. So, does anyone say that? That idea?
It's sin on, not sin.
Okay. If you're a Litvak, sin on.
But it's still a sin to pronounce it.
Right. Maybe. I mean, it's just such an unusual word. You know, Chazal say that Sinai is related to Sina. Yisham Sina Yarda La'olam, right? In Chazal's interpretation that we're talking about Har Sinai, in Maimon Har Sinai itself, so then the Rechev Elokim Ribosayim Alfei Shinon is a reference to Malachim. And Chazal say that Shinon is a term which refers to specifically to certain types of Malachim. There were tens of thousands of Malachim. Adokai Bam, and my master Hashem was among them. Sinai Bakodesh Ad Har Sinai. And then comes the following pasuk. Olisa Lamoro, you went up to the heavens. Shovisa Shevi, you took a captive. Lokachtu Matanos Ba'odom, you took gifts with man. Ve'afsarim Lishkon Ko Elokim, and even evildoers, Hashem will dwell with. So what does that mean? So again, on the level of Pashut Pshat, I mean, the first question we have to ask is, who's the subject of the sentence? Oliso Lamorom, you went up to the heavens. Right? So on the level of Pashut Pshat, say the Mefarshim, we're talking about Hashem Himself. And oh, okay, so 1 second. So on the level of Pashut Pshat, we're talking about the battle. Right? You know, the Jewish people are winning this battle against the enemy who's coming from the Golan Heights, from northern Israel. So you, Hashem, you, so to speak, went up to the heavens, and Shavisa Shevi, you took captives, meaning, you, Hashem, you fought our war against the enemy, you took some of the enemy soldiers captive, Lokachto Matanos Ba'adam, right? You enabled us to take gifts, meaning that we were able to beat back the enemy and to take their spoils, their booty, And even the evildoers, Hashem was among them, pushing them back and enabling the Jewish people to win. That may be the simple pshat of the pasuk describing the war. But Chazal bringing back so many of these psukim to Matan Torah, explained that Alisa Lamarom is not a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather to Moshe Rabbeinu. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, went up to the heavens. Shavisa Shevi, you took a captive. What was the captive?
The Torah
itself. Why is the Torah called a captive? Because the Malachim didn't want to give it to us. Right? Here's another example of this idea. You know, again, the story that we all heard as children. You know, Chazal root that story in this pasuk and other pasukim and this kapitel Tehillim. Moshe Rabbeinu, you went up to the heavens. You took the Torah as a captive. Why was it a captive? Because the Malachim didn't want to give it to us. You had to, so to speak, steal it away. You had to kidnap the Torah from the Malachim. Lokachto matanos ba'adam. You took gifts for man. Ba'adam. That was originally the Malachim wanted the Torah for themselves. They refused to relinquish it. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, took the Torah. You stole it away from the Malachim. You kidnapped it. And you took it back as a gift for Bnei Adam, for people, to be able to utilize that which the Malachim were reluctant to relinquish. So again, here's a pasuk that is the source for this idea which, we've grown up with, but Chazal didn't just get it, didn't just pull it out of a hat. They related it to this pasuk here, difficult pasukim in Tehillim. Pasuk Chaf is probably more familiar to us as a pasuk, but again, the question is, what does it mean exactly? Baruch Adokai Yom Yom. Blessed is God every day. Ya'amos Lanu. He will provide us with plenty. Literally, Ya'amos, He will burden us. But burden us in a good way. He's going to burden us with so many good things. We come home from the party, holding all these presents. It's too much to handle. Hakel Yeshua Seinu Sela. He is the God of our salvation, Selah, forever and ever. Now again, what's the meaning over here of this pasuk? So on the level of Pashut Pshat, right? So, again, that we're talking about a war. So, Baruch Hashem, every day He burdens us, quote unquote, with victories. Hakel Yeshua Seinu. Right? So in other words, not only were we victorious in this particular war against the people from Syria, up in the Golan Heights, but every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing victories for us. We may not be cognizant of them, we may not be thinking about them, but the same way there was this great victory then, there's a great victory which we experience every day. Yom Yom. It's interesting, Chazal also quote this pasuk in the Gemara Brachos. And it's relevant for tonight and for the next 2 days. Chazal say, the source, when we daven for mentioning a special day, like Rosh Chodesh, is this pasuk. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Say Chazal, B'chol Yom V'yom Tein Lo Me'ein Birchosov. Every day, praise God in a way which is appropriate to that day. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So in other words, if it's Shabbos, we daven differently than if it was a weekday. If it's Rosh Chodesh, we have to mention the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. If it's a Yontif, we have to mention the fact that it's a Yontif. We don't have a generic tefillah that's just the same every day. Every day we acknowledge, if there's a special day, we acknowledge the specialness of that day in our davening. If it's Hanukkah, if it's Purim, whatever it happens to be. Where do we get that idea from? Say Chazal, it's this pasuk, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. Every day is a little different, so every day should have its own acknowledgement in the tefillah. The Targum over here gives another interpretation of this pasuk. By the way, we say this pasuk every day as part of Uvalet Zion at the end of davening. The Targum gives an interpretation of this pasuk, which may be the reason that is quoted in Uvalet Zion, because I think the common denominator of all the things we quote in Uvalet Zion is that they talk about the importance of Torah study and the performance of mitzvahs. If you think about it, that's a reasonable thing to speak about Uvalet Zion, because Uvalet Zion is at the very end of davening. And the idea is, we're finishing davening, we're now about to go out there into the world, we need to reinforce for ourselves the importance of Torah and mitzvahs, because we're going to be pretty soon in a world where that's not the major focus of what people are focused on. So we need to remind ourselves of the importance of Torah and mitzvahs, b'davka, as we're finishing up davening. Writes the Targum as follows. Baruch Hashem kol yoma v'yoma. Blessed is God every single day. So far, just a little translation. Ta'ein lana. He puts burdens upon us. Or a burden has a negative connotation, right? He loads us up with things. What things does Hashem load us up with? Mosif pikudaya ilove pikudaya. He adds mitzvos on top of other mitzvos. Hashem is always giving us more mitzvos to do. That's the Targum says, Baruch Hashem yom yom ya'amos lanu. Right? He always keeps us busy doing mitzvos. Now, some people say that, and they're not so happy about that. You know, they complain about that. You know, ya'amos lanu, they leave out the Baruch Hashem part, but you know, the ya'amos lanu, they're more than happy to, yeah, ya'amos lanu, oi, oi. Another chiyuv, another thing I have to do, another thing I have to do.
It's a burden.
Right? But, you know, clearly the pasuk is stressing to us, and maybe again, this is why it's included in Uvalet Zion. Baruch Hashem, ya'amos lanu. Right? When Hashem, quote unquote, burdens us with more mitzvahs to do, you know, and more Torah to study, we don't view that as a burden. A person goes to a party, you know, he's the celebrant of, you know, he's the focus of attention at a party. And this one gives him a present, and this one gives him a present, this one gives him a present, this one gives him a present. And he comes home and never, you know, he's stumbling under all of the presents that he has, especially, you know, the grand piano. It's a little bit silly to give a guy a grand piano, you know, at a birthday party. It's a little bit hard to get home. So, you know, he's coming home and he's struggling, you know, under the massive number of presents that he has. All right, you know, so it's the rare person who will say, "Oy, Nebuch, I got so many presents. So hard for me to take them all home." Right? Some people do say that. Some people say, right, what's that? Yeah, somebody thanking us. Right. Some people say, you know, skip the presents, just give me a check. You know, that's very easy to take home. Okay, but, you know, the person who comes home overburdened with presents, you know, we don't begrudge the presents. We're happy with all these presents, even if it's a schlep to bring home. So that's the hashkaf of this pasuk, according to the Targum. Baruch Hashem, yamos lanu. Yeah, Hashem, you know, piles on all of the mitzvahs we have to do. It's like wonderful presents that we have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, you know, all of these opportunities to fulfill His will. Hakel lanu, kel lemoshaos. God is for us a God of victories. Velokim adokoi, and for Hashem, lamoves totsaos. There are many paths for death. Now, again, on the surface, that seems to be a, you know, a little bit of a non sequitur. God is the God of many salvations, and He has many paths to death, right? The simple pshat, again, understanding that we're talking about a war, which is being described over here, the simple pshat of the pasuk is as follows. God is always a source of victory for us. And for the enemy, He has many, many ways of putting the enemy to death. Right? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many ways of taking care of the enemy. And that idea is underscored in the following pasuk. Ach Elokim, Yimchatz Rosh Oyevav. Indeed, God will smash the head of His enemies. Kodkod Seor. He smashes the skull and the hair. Mishalech Ba'ashamov. He smashes the head of that person who walks in guilt. In other words, someone who is an enemy of Hashem, someone who is guilty, will, you know, will be taken care of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to smash him, skull, hair, and all. Again, a little bit of a gruesome image. But again, remember that we're talking about a war, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabling the Jewish people to be successful in war. that's, you know, unfortunately what happens as part of the war. Omar Adokoi says Hashem, Miboshon Ashiv, I will bring back from Boshon, Ashiv Mimitsulos Yom, I will return from the depths, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. Again, what does this mean on a pshat level and how do Chazal take it? We're going to see very, very different understandings. On the pshat level, that the Jewish people have gone to war in Bashan, right, in the Golan Heights, basically what's being described here in the Pasuk is the equivalent of what, you know, would become famous many years later, bring our boys home. I mean, that's really what the Pasuk is saying. Omar Hashem mi Bashan Ashiv, says Hashem, I will bring them back from Boshan. Who is he going to bring back from Boshan? The Jewish soldiers, right? Hashem promises that the soldiers are going to go to war, and he's going to bring them back, right? And he's going to bring them back whole. Oshivim sulos yom, even if they have to go to the depths of the sea to fight the enemy. Now, where would they be going to the depths of the sea to fight the enemy? So either it's meant metaphorically, right? Now, there's even, you know, he's going to bring them back from the front, no matter how far in they have to go. Or maybe it's meant literally. In other words, maybe there was a war that took place on the coast of the Mediterranean. I mean, that, you know, certainly among the wars that David HaMelech fought, you know, it's conceivable that there were wars where they were fighting on the coast. So, you know, even from the depths of the sea, I'll bring the soldiers home. Right? That's in the Pashut Pshat. Comes the Targum, and the Targum writes as follows. Again, this is a deeper interpretation. Tzadikayo demisu, the tzadikim who passed away, this achlu min chevas bira, and they were eaten by the wild animals of the field. You know, it was the tzadikim who nebuch were killed, you know, died in horrific ways. Omar Hashem, mikusnon asev, says Hashem, I'll bring them back even when it seems like they're irretrievable. Right? A tzaddik was eaten up by a lion. How's Hashem going to bring him back? Right? So again, it doesn't mean in this world, but the pasuk is a reference, according to this interpretation, to the notion of Tchias HaMeisim. You know, God says, I will bring back the tzaddikim. Even if they die in this world, they're going to be brought back to life. Asev tzaddikayo diishteniku bimsulta diyama. And even those tzaddikim who have drowned in the depths of the sea, says Hashem, the day will come, I will restore them, there'll be a Tchias HaMeisim. So again, this pasuk, in this interpretation, is understood as referring to the fact that God is not only going to bring back the soldiers in a particular instance, God is going to bring back all of the perished tzaddikim, he's going to resuscitate them, he's going to engage in the resurrection of the dead, as hinted at here in this pasuk. There is a very poignant story in the Gemara in Gittin, which we make reference to, actually in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara in Gittin tells the story of after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara, the Roman soldiers filled up ships with hundreds of Jewish boys and girls, and the ships were taking these Jewish boys and girls off to Rome. And while they were on the ship, the Gemara says that the girls especially started speaking among themselves, and they said, you know, why are the Romans taking us off to Rome? Probably what's going to happen is they're going to press us into forced prostitution. I mean, that's what's going to happen. You know, they're not taking us to Rome, you know, so we can go to boarding school. They're taking us to Rome so we can, you know, unfortunately be pressed into immoral behavior. The girls said, and the Gemara records, the girls said, we're not going to do it. They made a pact among themselves. They jumped into the sea and they drowned. Says the Gemara, when the boys saw that, the boys said, we're probably also going to be forced into prostitution. The Roman world, we know, was notorious for all kinds of perversions. And, you know, the boys said, you know, whatever's going to happen to the girls is going to be even worse as to what they're going to do for the boys. We're going to follow their example. They jumped into the sea as well. What was the source for this decision? So the Gemara says the girls and the boys, who apparently knew Tehillim, quoted this pasuk. Amar Hashem, Mibashan Oshiv. Says Hashem, I'll bring them back from Boshan. Boshan over here is understood not as the Golan Heights, but as, you know,
captivity.
Yeah, anywhere. You know, we would say, Yehupitz, right? Now, I'll bring them back from wherever they happen to be, even the forest flung places of the earth, I'll bring them back. Those tzaddikim will give up their lives, al kiddush Hashem. God is not going to let them die. Ashiv in sulos yom. And the second part of the pasuk especially. Even if they go down to the depths of the sea, which is what they did. They jumped off the ships. They committed suicide. Poskim write that it's permissible to commit suicide under such circumstances to save themselves from being pressed into terrible sinful situations. So Hashem says, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. With this promise, the kids, the Jewish boys and girls jumped off into the sea because they said, okay, we are, we have a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's not going to let us disappear. He's going to bring us back. Right? So a very, very powerful pasuk, in that regard. Finally, Rashi, along this, similar, but not exactly the same, Rashi writes, Amar Hashem Mibashan Oshiv, Ki Kein Hivtiach LaHoshiv Osanu Mitoch Abirei Boshan Omiyei Hayom. Hashem promises to bring the Jewish people as a whole back from our Golos. In other words, even if we find ourselves on the far flung islands, and among difficult nations, like the Abirei Boshan. The Abirei Boshan is a metaphor. The Nevi'im talk about the well-fed cows that used to be in the Golan Heights. So even where we're being subjugated by rulers who are like those powerful animals of the Golan Heights, nonetheless, we have confidence that Hashem is going to bring us back from there and return us to Eretz Yisrael. So again, according to Chazal, in various different ways, this pasuk is not just talking about a war. This pasuk is talking about our kibbutz galus. The fact that the Jews are going to be restored to Eretz Yisrael is talking about the idea of Tchiyas HaMesim. It's talking about the idea that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward those tzaddikim who die al Kiddush Hashem. It's a very, very powerful pasuk. Oshiv, Hashem says, I will bring those back who are scattered, who are lost. Again, very, very powerful ideas which are expressed in this pasuk. Leman timchas raglecha bedam lashon klavecha me oivim minehu. In order that your leg, that your foot, should smash in the blood of lashon klavecha. I'm sorry. Leman timchas raglecha bedam. In order that your foot will smash in blood, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to stick up for us against the enemies, so to speak. He will trample them with His feet and there will be blood all around. Mishon klovecha me'oivim mineyu, the tongues of your dogs will be satiated from the enemies, meaning, again, a rather graphic image. But the dogs are going to be out there, going to lick the blood of the enemies. That's how successful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to lead us against the enemies of the Jewish people. Okay, I think we're going to have to go to a part 3. Again, we see that it's this Baruch Hashem more than enough for a part 3. So, yeah, maybe we'll get to a part 4 also. But Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up next week with part 3. And continue explaining both in terms of the pshat level as well as the various midrashim that Chazal connect in to these very, very difficult psukim to understand.